is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Conrad Black, writing for the National Post, the distinguished biographer, commenting again on allegations over many months that there was systematic abuse of Native American children, indigenous people's children, by the Canadian government in some fashion, once upon a time, late 19th, early 20th century, and that there are grave sites, some discovered, some to be discovered, that demonstrate the abuse. The puzzle here is, where is the evidence? And I welcome Conrad to help me, because there's recently been a comment by an archaeologist, Paul Racker, in the National Post, using the word genocide, always in quotes. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Coming to this argument very carefully with an archaeologist's mind, I've read archaeology my whole life. If there was a systematic abuse, if there was crime, the graves could tell a great part of the story. But to my knowledge, in reading your column and Mr. Racker's letter in the National Post, there's no exhumation underway right now by either the Truth and Reconciliation representatives or the Canadian government. Is that correct, Conrad? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. That is correct. My objection to what Mr. Racker wrote was that he's nibbled around the edges of this problem. He's trying to keep the canard that there was some sort of genocide, which has been stretched now under the pressure of the counterattacks of people like myself who are saying there obviously was no such genocide conducted. They stretched it to what they call cultural genocide. And of course, that is nonsense. That's assimilation or acculturation. We've had over the years 4 million French Canadians move to the United States, and almost all of them over time gave up the French language. Were they victims of cultural genocide? Of course not. Did the tens of millions of Americans and their antecedents who came from Central Europe, any non-English speaking country, East Asia, any non-speaking country who eventually gave up their language, including Hispanics? Of course, they weren't victims of cultural genocide. So what's happening is the people who really torqued this issue up and got right to the edge of saying there was attempted physical genocide, which, you know, like the Nazis performed, for example, is absolutely outrageous. And as I've described it, a blood libel on both French and English Canada, because they accuse all of us, all the original European Canadians of this. I mean, not the ones living, but going back a century and more. And so our you know, those who disagree with me are trying to retreat with as much dignity as they can, which is not very much given the enormity of the falsehood that they've been sponsoring here. And Mr. Racker said in his piece, legal experts dispute whether genocide was attempted. No, they don't. No serious person can make any case whatever that this was a genocide matter. And I wish to emphasize, I don't think the native people, the Indians, as we used to call them, were treated fairly. I agree with that. And I think we have to do much better, and we have to atone for what went on. But let us call it by its rightful name. There were policies that were perhaps motivated by an element of white supremacism, but they were basically motivated by the view that they wanted to help these people participate in the life of the country. And for them to do that, they had to learn to read and write and become at least basically educated, which they were not going to, that was not going to be their fate if they stayed on the reservations, living in grinding poverty and subject to a terribly high mortality rate from diseases, especially tuberculosis at that time. Fine. The policies were often misadministered. There were no doubt a great many terrible incidents. I'm not trying to debate any of that. But moving from there to any form of genocide, anything with CIDE at the end of it, insecticide, suicide, regicide, it means the physical extermination of something. No one was asking for that, and no one was trying to get them, the native people, to give up their cultures. They just wanted them to be fluent in one of the official languages, English and French, writing it and reading it, so that they had a chance to go out into the world and you know, become successful participants in a modern economy. And this is just where the issue is. And finally, I mean, the good news from the standpoint of those of us interested in resurrecting accurate history is that those trying to present or sidle up to in a sneaky and devious and insidious way on the idea that there was any attempt to exterminate these people culturally or otherwise are in retreat. And Mr. Racker, I should say, sent me, subsequent to the exchange we're talking about here, a very, very gracious note saying that we basically agreed on most things. He was just full of sympathy for the natives. Well, yeah, I certainly sympathize with them too, but that has nothing to do with saying that they were victims of genocide, which they were not.
The schools were called the Indian Residential Schools, and the Canadian government, I believe, used the churches, the various church sects, to administer the schools in some instance. I mention all this because Canadian government, church schools, there would be enormous records kept.
Well, there were scanty recollections of people who went to those schools, many of them, by the way, quite positive recollections, but there were some that were very negative and told very nasty stories. And I have no way of checking whether they were accurate, but let's assume that some of them were accurate. That there is. But beyond that, the records, insofar as they exist, show that there were many applications by the native families for their children to go to these schools. The mythology was put about initially that all of these 150,000 native children, Indian, American Indian children, were snatched, literally ripped out of the arms of their parents and dragged away. I mean, this is all absolute rubbish. That's not what happened. And let me add this for your listeners, just so no one imagines that nothing's been done in the way of reparations. There are 150,000 students in these schools, grand total, on the whole history of them over about 80 years or a little more. And in that time, 150,000 students, we have now paid out or pledged to pay irrevocable pledges, the governments and the churches, all the Christian churches, $4.7 trillion in respect of 150,000 people, most of whom are no longer living. I mean, most of them lived to a reasonable age, but they died a long time ago. So, $4.7 trillion, and we're still being accused of genocide. I mean, this has got to stop. It's nonsense.
Does it have a purchase in Parliament?
Right now, no. Right now, everyone just wants the issue to go away, except those who stand to gain from what I describe and others describe it as the native victimhood industry. In fairness to them, they've been pushing on an open door. And as long as no one responded as I have, saying, look, let's define what actually happened here as best we can, as accurately as we can, that was a good thing for them. They were just getting more and more, and they claim that the Pope admitted the genocide had been attempted. He didn't admit anything of the kind. He came to visit, and he said what happened was unfortunate. And on his plane in the way back, a Canadian press reporter gave him a trick question, and what he was saying was that he wouldn't use the term cultural genocide, but something like that may in some cases have happened. He didn't know. And this was, turned into the Pope admitting that genocide was attempted. He said nothing of the kind.
Conrad Black, writing at the National Post on the allegation that has no substance as of right now. I'm John Bachelor.